against my better judgment, I am now going to introduce Mr. Gary Kroger.
Is that how we start the show now? Is that how we start the show with this disclaimer?
I thought it was cute last week.
No, I liked it. But now I'm going to say, hey, everybody, welcome to the Gary and Kenny Show. That's where we're going now.
Well, you hear me.
You introduce me.
I just hear the voiceover. You don't see me until I say Gary Kroger.
Oh, okay. Fine. I say leave all this in.
You should watch the show.
Well, I have seen it. I just don't remember it. That's all. All right. So you just counted me in?
Yes.
Thank you, Kenny. Welcome to the Gary and Kenny Show. I'm Gary Kroger in Waterloo, Iowa, and I am joined by...
Ken Sizer in Calabasas, California. Speaking of which, I know, but another thing that I've struck... Have you ever heard of The Bling Ring? The Bling Ring. It's a documentary that's running on Netflix now. And it's the story of this group of girls. No, it wasn't girls. I think it might have been...
Oh, is this that were committing the crimes?
Of all the celebrities that media, and they would see the celebrities at a party.
Kind of an old story, though, right?
Yeah, basically. But I just watched the documentary, and they're all from Calabasas.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. I didn't notice that. The leader, went to Calabasas.
Have you noticed anything missing?
What's that?
Have you looked around the house?
No. They were only doing it because they wanted to have some contact with fame. I mean, that's the thing about fame and celebrity out here, you know. Their whole motivation was they just wanted to be close to it. They watched social media and they wanted to be a part of the whole world, and that's how they connect to it.
As criminals was how they...
It wasn't like they were doing it for money. They were just doing it to see,
to be in their home. Right.
Right.
Well, yeah, I don't condone it, but I sort of get it. I sort of understand, wow. You know,
I'm just amazed how often I sit here and I hear the name Calabasas come up, and I never heard it come up before.
Well, imagine how little I hear Waterloo, Iowa come up.
No, I read an article about Waterloo.
In the menu, the chef, Ray Fiennes, said
that
was from Waterloo, Iowa.
That is right. I remember
We have our own criminal past.
Wow, yeah.
Well, speaking of criminals, can we talk about the Speaker of the House?
I know very little about it, so why don't you fill me in?
Mike Johnson from, I believe, Louisiana. Mm-hmm. Is the new Speaker of the House. And Kenny,
well, he's got an American name. That's good.
Yeah, it's good. He is as arch conservative, batshit crazy as they come. To me, any congressperson who voted to overturn the 2020 election already operates from a premise of false information, an inability to process facts.
How do they escape all of the information that seems to
That's my point. That's the Speaker of the House escaped all of the truthful information and voted to overturn the election. Oh, but there's more, Kenny. This guy has voted for draconian cuts to Social Security, to Medicare, to Medicaid. He wants a national ban on abortion, a national ban on gay marriage. This is the extreme end is now there. They're centrists. Republican centrists are extreme.
Well, the one comment I heard right off the top was that the only reason he was there was because God had chosen him.
Well, there's that. Yeah. Well,
I'm not really sure it's great having God on your side, because I'll tell you the truth. Notre Dame is a Catholic university, am I right?
Yeah. Well, and they lose their share of games.
And they lose. If you have God on your side and you can't win, you're either a really football game, or you're a really bad God.
If you looked at all the numbers where God played a part in the game, I'll bet it breaks down to about 50-50.
Right.
God won half the time, God lost half the time. So what does that tell me? Maybe God's not involved.
Well, Call me crazy. Maybe it tells you that. There was another article. I don't get it. You know, evangelical groups that were just talking about God has anointed Donald Trump as the president. And if he's not the president, then God is going to destroy the world. And by the way, if Trump becomes president, I endorse God destroying the world. What else would you like to talk about? I'd like to hear more about Gary's complaint department.
Well, you know, recently I got into this Taylor Swift argument. Did you catch any part of that on Facebook?
Not the documentary, but I know her movie Eras, I think it's
well,
called
no,
Eras,
it's
is making like $1 billion.
Somebody posted because the movie's making $1 zillion, because she has 1,000 Grammys, because she sells more records than anybody and sells out tours, that she should be considered among the greatest composers in the last century.
No, well, you can't make that
Joni
now.
Mitchell,
only the people who
Joni
are in the next
Mitchell,
century
Bob
can make
Dylan.
That determination.
Well, let's just say for the last 100 years, that she should be considered one of the great composers.
Okay.
I said, well, you know, I'll give her the fact that she's immensely popular. Maybe she'll go down more popular than anybody, but I can't put her in the same pantheon with Joni Mitchell and Paul McCartney, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Scott Joplin or Duke Ellington, for heaven's sakes. Stevie Wonder. But the Swifties, as they call themselves, just, they find you. They find you. And they just ripped me. Ripped me. But what surprised me is a lot of my own friends, again, well, Gary, you really can't make that judgment. It's not up to you. Music is subjective. You know, leave it alone. But I couldn't leave it alone, because I can't put Taylor Swift music with Joni Mitchell or Bob Dylan or Stevie Wonder.
No,
I can't do it.
I forgive you.
Well, thanks.
You're a little sensitive.
Well, I think there's an issue here. I think everything's subjective. Food's subjective. Clothing is subjective. Of course, music is subjective. But there has to be some criteria. You know, if you love yellowtail wine, then I don't want you to recommend wine to me. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
There are standards by which connoisseurs use.
Good thing I threw out that bottle of yellowtail that was sitting on the couch.
Look, you can always argue a good wine or a good song is what you like. Yes, of course. But I believe there are elements that serious people, serious musicians, serious critics, serious sommeliers or whatever use to determine, oh, this belongs on Mount Olympus.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if we keep degrading that, what we have is a popularity contest, and that's what we have in everything, in politics. It's all about how popular you are rather than the substance.
There's no question. My son, as I've mentioned before, is in the management business, talent business, and when he goes into meetings now with his talent, the things that the people want to know is, how many followers do you have?
That's not the work that you're doing, what
audience are you bringing to us already?
Right.
Yeah. Okay. Wow. Well, anyhow, I don't know what to do about Taylor. I think she's cute and adorable. I think some of her songs are phenomenal. I don't know
if she's
going to go down, as you call it, the pantheon. But I won't be here. And I
think some of her songs are fun. I'd rather listen to Beyonce, you know, to be honest with you. I find that I'm more apt to move.
But
I'm now the
guy. Anyhow,
she
seems like a nice person. God, she can't even go out with this guy, Travis Kelce, and he's on doing every commercial now.
Yeah,
you know,
right.
It's out of control. You know, the spotlight is so much upon these people.
Well,
it's unbelievable.
Look, and just be so that no one descends on our show, although we welcome all the Swifties
dissension
to our show.
Yeah.
I think she's tremendous in that she is creating an economy in every school town that she goes to. And she is socially conscious. I like the empowerment of that young women are feeling. I like some of her music. I just don't, you know, that's the conversation, not whether her music will be listened to in 40 years.
Okay. And Taylor, if you're listening, which is chances of that are
which
so
would be awesome.
Bad. I love you, Taylor. I do.
Taylor.
I love Taylor. All right, let me ask you. You just posted on Facebook a picture of you and Tony Curtis.
Yeah.
I wish you would talk about those things more. Now, I know a lot of our audience probably doesn't know who Tony Curtis is. But
right.
I thought, oh my God, that is pretty cool that you worked with
Tony
Curtis.
You know, I got a lot of little chestnuts like that. Well, I did the series Short-Lived Spies with George Hamilton. Well, actually, this is an interesting story.
And George is still with us, right?
George is still with us. In fact, I was in touch with him just 2 weeks ago.
Well, did you mention the show?
Yes, I did, as a matter of fact. Right. He hasn't watched it. But anyway, I did the pilot for Spies for CBS in the late 80s or mid-80s, whenever, with Tony Curtis. And I played this neophyte spy, but and it was a great pilot, and it got picked up. But the network thought that Tony Curtis was too dated, and they wanted somebody hipper, more irreverent James Bondy, and they hired George Hamilton. Well, they were fired me too, because I was hired to be with Tony Curtis, and I didn't play a real nerdy character. I was played just a young spy, and I thought the pilot was very good. So they wiped me out of it, and I said, well, I'd still like to audition. I go, well, the character's going to be completely different. In contrast to George Hamilton, he's going to be very nerdy. And I said, well, give me a shot. Well, somebody said, you look too much like George Hamilton. No, I don't look too much like George Hamilton. But what I did, Kenny, is I put on glasses, and I made my hair sort of cinnamon-colored so there was a sharp contrast, and I tested with George. They allowed me to test with George. Yes. And do you know who said, I like that guy with you, George? Elizabeth Taylor. She was at my screen test, and she said, I like that kid.
You met Elizabeth Taylor?
Elizabeth Taylor, yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah.
And she said she liked you?
She and George were dating. She liked me. She and George were dating at that time, sort of under the radar, but those of us who saw, you know, his yacht move.
I love your chestnuts. Like,
that's a good chestnut, isn't it?
Oh, there she is.
Oh, my goodness, there's my beautiful wife.
She is. You're a beautiful woman, Shannon, if I may. Am I allowed to say that anymore?
Yeah, no, you can. But now let's explain why she suddenly appeared.
Yes.
Hi,
because she figured out how to do a Zoom, or a big expert on technology and AI.
I couldn't figure out how to get on the Zoom.
Well, I should point out, though, when I say sweetheart on this show, I'm talking to Kenny.
Well, that's true.
I knew that.
Thank you, darling.
Well, my wife is actually in her office upstairs. Where
in her office is out of focus.
She does things that I can't explain. Mm. She has a career that I can't really describe. Mm-hmm. But she works in the world of honey, I mean you. What do you do upstairs that pays the mortgage?
Software application design.
Okay. It's above my pay grade right there.
The reason I wanted to talk to Shannon is because maybe she's going to explain what's going on with AI. And I know we'll probably sound like, you know, old people, but I don't even think young people understand AI. My first question about AI is this.
Shoot.
I'm going to say maybe a year ago, I just started to hear about it. I hadn't really not, I mean, maybe in the past I'd read about this stuff happening, but in a short amount of time, it went from being something that most Americans hadn't heard of to dominating our life today. Mm-hmm. When we came onto the Zoom, the first message I got was, find out how AI can improve your Zoom experience.
Well, so we're bringing my wife on as somewhat of an expert on AI.
Well, only compared to most of the population, because I've only just started working with it at my job, although we've been using a form of it, machine learning, for probably years now. And machine learning is totally different than what you're seeing, you know, ChatGPT, where you type something in and it, you know, basically writes a novel for you, or, you know, does whatever. But no, machine learning is different. It's basically an algorithm, right? And so algorithms are everywhere. Algorithms are in Facebook, they're in all sorts of websites. So those are everywhere. But that's also artificial intelligence. But the stuff that people are really freaking out about is the stuff where you can type something in and it'll write you back, you know, a whole new resume or whatever.
Well, didn't you say to me the other day, you just used AI to write an AI platform for work?
Yeah.
Walk me through that.
I know, it's super meta. So yeah, this is kind of where we've come to, right? All of us. I mean, you guys just had this huge strike about it. And now we're kind of moving forward where I work with some of the more front-facing AI tools, the natural language programming, the things that generate these responses. And so I use a design tool called Figma. And, you know, that's what we design things in, right? We do our screen, we make everything look pretty, whatever. One of the steps that we use when we get to a design is we do a wireframe. And the first thing you know, that a wireframe accomplishes is it basically tells you what's going to be on the page and where it's going to go before you make it look pretty.
Right.
So the Figma file that I use has a plugin now called a wireframe generator, and it is an AI prompt. And so if you type into it.
This software?
What?
You have to pay for like that software?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you do have to pay for that. So there are, because I know there's AI stuff that's like open source, right? That people can use. And then I think by
chat. That's free.
Some of the chat programs are open source. But this one is a plugin that somebody built and added to Figma. And so basically I just typed in, because I've never used it before, and I thought, well, let's just see what this is. So I typed in, I was like, create an AI interface for a ChatGPT type prompt with a, you know, and I just kind of went through some basic requirements and it spit it right out. And I thought, well, this is really meta because I just used AI to create something that's going to create AI.
There's a new verb being used. This is really meta. You said that three times. This is so meta.
Sorry.
No, don't be sorry. I'm going to use it every day now.
I don't mean to repeat myself.
Honey, that was so meta.
Does it scare you?
I think that there are some things about it that we have to be careful about. I had a talk with my friend and colleague who is a PhD from Stanford, and she got her PhD in artificial intelligence. So she's really the AI expert. And so one of the things that I asked her was, I said, what can you tell people? Like, if I was going to talk to people, what would you tell them about that would help them be less afraid of AI? And what she said is, well, look, the thing you have to understand about it, it is actually people all the way through, right? There are people that are training the prompts, they're building the natural language, they're watching how it responds, they're poking and prodding it to go in the direction they want it to go. And that's great because it's not just like an evil robot doing things by itself.
Right.
The thing that's still scary about that to me is that it still has, you know, the capacity to do all sorts of stuff that we don't know yet what it can possibly do. Because once it starts kind of spinning and putting things together.
That's what scares me. It's like, you explained that there's lots of human elements that went into any AI application, and that's great. But aren't we all afraid a little bit, even in your job, that we could be replaced by any one of those jobs could ultimately be replaced by AI as it grows?
I would say, yes, there are some jobs that could be replaced, but there are many jobs that will drastically change, right? So, for example, you know, if we have AI that does what I do, it could spit out all sorts of designs for all sorts of pages that I need it to create. But I'm still going to have to look at those and say, okay, from a human perspective, does this make sense? Because AI doesn't have a human perspective.
Right.
Well, let's the human perspective, which is forget about the commercial use of AI or its impact on businesses. I'm curious. There is a service out there now that will create a partner for you by AI. It will put a face on a person that doesn't really exist.
Are you talking about a love partnership?
Yes.
Like a real person or an avatar?
Not a real person. It's totally created by AI. The voice is connected.
What's the value of it?
Like, so that people who are lonely, it's just like the movie Her.
Someone to talk to.
No, I mean, that sounds like a good application of AI.
I don't know.
All the lonely people.
It just gives you another reason to be a shut-in, doesn't it?
Well, it makes you happier as a shut-in anyway. I mean, I think shut-ins have plenty of reasons already.
Well, you know what? Point.
Should we plug the Gary and Kenny show into AI and see what it would create?
I think you should put the homeless in with the shut-ins. That would be my recommendation.
All right.
But anyhow, I'm just saying that I think that frightens me. The idea that people are going to
what frightens me
myself for any human contact, that now we have these things that AI is going to fill some kind of social void in your life.
Yeah. What frightens me is, and this is for both of you.
And we blame you, Shannon.
We're talking about AI people. We're talking
I didn't
about
create it.
we're talking about where AI is today, which to your point, we weren't talking about it a year ago, and it's light years from where it was a year ago. It's growing exponentially. So a year from now, maybe all of these human applications that we're talking about will be phased out, very quickly. Well, that's what scares me.
It's possible, but I think that what you guys did with the strike really put a stake in the ground and kind of opened some
eyes. Well, for the writers, but that the actors thing is not settled, and the actors thing is very serious. I mean, it go into an audition guide. What if you went into the Spies audition and they had you sign a piece of paper and you didn't realize that at the bottom of it, it said we can use your likeness in any way we want.
Right.
Yeah.
And the actors are generally desperate. At least I always was desperate, and I would have signed anything just to get the job.
Exactly.
So it is dangerous.
I guess the question is, to simplify it, is that it's kind of a program that just goes out on the internet, right? It couldn't exist without the internet, correct?
Right. Well, except that you can have an AI that is only attached to a certain data set, right? So some AIs are scraping the entire web, right? And so they're looking for all these patterns across the web or information, but you can have a unique data set and the AI only looks there. And that's what we're doing at work, because what we're doing is we're putting together a generator that's obviously only relevant to the very specific things in the program that it's handling. So it doesn't need to scrape the web.
The web. That's what
you
I
see. Scrape the web. She speaks this language, honey. You're speaking to two hillbillies, basically.
I know. I need to.
We're like two hillbillies trying to build a rocket to the moon. I mean, we just have no idea.
Luddites.
Well, yeah.
But here's the thing: I don't think that there's any cause to be concerned about any of the current AI. I think that we have to be very ethical in how we continue down this path so that we don't end up with things like, and here's my biggest concern is the fact that what was reassuring to my friend was, oh, it's people all the way through. That was actually very concerning to me, because when you have a product, for lack of a better term, that is so highly dependent on such a number of people with expertise in order to run it successfully and not have some kind of catastrophic risk, that is not a good solution to me. And simply because we live in a capitalist society where everything's the bottom line and everything turns into money at some point. And at some point, people are going to get a hold of AI and they're going to say, oh, no, we don't need those experts. We'll figure it out ourselves. We're going to save money. And then that's when I'm afraid of something bad happening.
Well, I guess the question goes, as I assume at some point we're going to have to take up legislation to kind of figure out.
Well, similar to the Writers Guild strike. I mean, there has to be language to contain. There have to be standards.
There's going to have to be parameters around.
Well, the thing that I've heard from most of my writer friends regarding that is that when AI goes on the internet and scrapes it, it's really taking work that was created by other people.
Right.
Yes.
And so the thing is, well, I wrote it and now AI is now using it to write something else. That's a copyright issue.
It's a copyright issue. And it's going to be really hard to tease out where stuff is coming from. Right.
Because what part of what I wrote was lifted?
Mine.
Those three words or what, my general tone? It's going to be
difficult. Well, but I will say that.
Anything that they're developing that would be able, a type of software that would be
AI police?
Yeah, that would be able to filter and automatically scan to know whether or not you're looking at something authentic.
Probably.
I don't know of anything right now, but I'm sure that that is coming very soon, because obviously teachers are another set of people that are going to need that, right?
There's a commercial now for the new Google Pixel phone. I don't know if you've seen it. And in it, they don't talk about what a phone does for like talking people. They never mention in the phone commercial that the phone could be used to talk to people.
But as a phone?
That it could actually be used as a phone.
Yeah. No.
That feature will probably go away.
Probably. But they showed how great it is at photography and how well you can manipulate it.
Yes.
So they take a picture. Have you seen this commercial? You take a picture and there's four people and two people aren't smiling. And you click on it and all of a sudden they're smiling. So now they send that to me and I go, oh, look how happy he looks, that person in the picture.
So actually, they,
authentically, he was very depressed.
Right. Well, it started with being able to erase people in pictures with next to the Baha'i temple or whatever. You can create out of reality your own new reality that never actually existed.
Right, but that's what I'm saying. It should be stamped that it was augmented.
Yeah,
that
this, yeah, yeah, well.
Mm-hmm. Watermarked, yep, something like that.
Yeah.
Now, right. let's change the subject just for a second because we have my beautiful wife here.
Let's talk about your relationship with Gary.
I'm gonna
can AI help that? Can AI contribute?
I am an AI bot. I just thought I better put it out here.
I'm a shut-in, Kenny. This is my world right here. I'm a shut-in. Shannon was created, but Shannon loves the Gary and Kenny show. Do you know why she loves the Gary and Kenny show? I swear to you, she loves you, Kenny. She thinks you're hysterical.
Okay,
she thinks you're hysterical.
Could you sign off, Gary?
You know, it's always, what did Kenny say today? You know, yeah, he made some ridiculous comment about, you know, whatever. About
I enjoy, this has been a great outlet for us. I mean, it's been a lot of fun. I mean, I enjoy it. Yes. But thank you, Shannon, for being a fan. And you can get, I'll sign something if you'd like me to sign something.
Okay.
All right. But Kenny, this is a rare opportunity. You have my wife on the show. Ask her anything. I am unafraid.
Really? Oh, wow.
I am unafraid.
That's like what I'm talking about.
I have one question. I have one question.
Care now?
Yeah, okay. But what's your one question? That's what's interesting to me. What will you ask? I have to think about it a little bit.
I'm trying to think what's interesting about you that I want to know about.
Yeah, why are you with him, Shannon? Why are you
That's
the
not
it. Is coverage.
No, you know, the truth of the matter is, you know, how often are you guys doing it?
Well,
I'm signing off. This is not what I signed up for.
We talk about
I think that's what most America wants to know, how often everybody is doing it.
We do it to each other's satisfaction with mutual respect. Frequently, I admit, as I've admitted on this show, I take blood pressure medicine that can just destroy my libido. But when you have an amazing wife, and it's not just her beauty, it is her intelligence. Did you capture that? How smart this human being is? That's all so sexy to me. We have, if not literal, tantric sex daily.
You know, I would never put you on the stand, Gary, because the first part of it is brilliant. The first part of it is diplomatic.
And then
perfect. And then you go off.
And then I wander.
And now we're talking about your blood pressure.
Shannon and I were talking about this the other day. It was like when you marry a comedian, you take a certain risk because the comedian is always looking for the joke, and the joke will come out before any sensitivity radar. Right, honey? Weren't we talking about that? It's like, I will blurt something out and you go, you hurt my feelings. So I was just trying to be funny.
It doesn't happen that often, though.
No.
You know.
Well, you know what? Gary, you do some funny things I wish you did on the show. You did faces from pants.
Faces in my pants.
Yeah.
Would you add that picture of faces
singing,
in my pants?
You have a singing clam bit?
I do singing clams, yes.
All you want to do is talk about politics. When we showing America, your face pants and your thing.
I use Facebook as a place to just put everything out there.
You do put everything.
And being my faces in my pants, singing clams, various other things I enjoy putting out there. All right, Meta Wife. Last chance to get some dirt on me. Last chance. Try to destroy our marriage. Do what you can to destroy our marriage right now, Kenny. Go.
Oh, me? Oh, yeah. No. I leave destroying your marriage to yourself. I always believe it should be the people who are involved that should destroy their own marriage. And they're very capable of it.
We make people sick. We're so happy together.
You know, I'm going on vacation with my wife.
I know. And you're going to
Turkey.
Turkey.
How cool.
You guys vacation well together?
Oh, yes.
Look, let's say we go to Scotland and I got to get used to driving on the left side of the road and going the wrong way on a roundabout. I'm testy for a day, right, honey? You wanted to kill me. The first day in Scotland, you wanted to kill me.
No, I didn't want to kill you.
I was irritable because I thought I was going to kill us.
I wanted you to calm down because you were driving in a way that was a little bit scary. So
well,
I wanted
wasn't
you to
trying
calm
to.
Down.
I was trying to stay on the left side. But I remember being irritable.
Right. It's the Newlywed Game. You hosted, grabby. By the way, Gary. You what? Hosted the Newlywed Game.
Yes,
you
I did.
You hosted the Newlywed Game, yeah.
Yes, I did. I hosted. I loved hosting the Newlywed Game. Can I tell you before we sign off the funniest thing I think I ever ad-libbed on the Newlywed Game? You brought up the Newlywed Game.
Absolutely.
I had a young minister on the show. And the question, and his wife worked at the dollar store. And the question was, where's the craziest place you ever made whoopee, right? The, mm-hmm. the old friend. And she said, well, it's probably with him in the back room where I work. And I said, well, that's getting a bang for your buck.
Wow. Oh, the dollar store. I get that. It's a dollar store.
Wasn't that a good write-off? You know, yeah.
Do you want to hear a little chestnut of mine?
Yeah.
From the world of game shows?
Mm-hmm.
So when I first moved out to California, my first job was as a production assistant for Barry and Enright Productions, which was Jack Barry.
I remember that.
Right. Yeah. Dan Enright. It was Dan Enright.
Oh, sure.
Anyhow, the show was, it was a couple of shows they did, which was Joker, Joker, Joker. And the other show that they did was Tic-Tac-Toe. And on that show, they had Wink Martindale as the host. Okay. Remember Wink Martindale?
Yeah. He's okay. Uncle of one of my best friends.
So anyhow, while I was working as a PA, people would tell Dan, you know, Kenny's really funny. You should have him write some of the dialogue between you and, you know, the guests that come on. So Dan said, okay, all right. And so one of the people, so they give me the profiles on the people that are going to be the contestants. And one of them was from Bolivia, okay? Now, I'm a little kid, and I don't know. I'm thinking, write a joke. So I wrote the joke for Wink, which was, the person goes, well, Wink says, oh, I understand you're from Bolivia. And the person goes, yes, that's correct. And my joke was, I don't Bolivia.
I don't Bolivia.
The worst joke in the world. But I was young. But I gave. Gave it to Wink Martindale, the last person that would understand that joke.
That would be his style Bolivia, to deliver either. I don't Bolivia. I would have delivered that joke.
No, I know. But
I don't Bolivia. Yeah.
He didn't say, he said, I don't Bolivia. And the audience was just dead silent. It was just death. And Dan was running out. Stop.
No, I want to say goodbye. I want to say officially goodbye to my wife.
Okay.
I want to have a formal goodbye to my wife.
All right. I'm signing off. Thank you for asking me to join you and talk about AI.
Yes.
You were wonderful and brilliant as always.
Thanks.
And I'll see you later.
There you go.
All right.
Bye-bye.
That'd be me. All right.
Bye, Kenny.
Bye. Well, Kenny, I won't see you again for a while, so enjoy turkey.
Yes.
Have a leg for me. Will you go to Rhodes? And
I'll tell you something interesting, if I may.
Yeah.
So the first thing in going to Turkey is you're going to have to look to see where I'm going to study where I'm visiting to find out important information. The first thing I search is, does turkey have anything to do with the turkey that we eat for Thanksgiving? That was
you asked
first.
That.
Yeah. What do you think the answer was? And I'm glad I did.
I think the answer is no.
You think the answer is no, and you would be wrong.
Really? I was actually laughing at you for even thinking that there was a relationship between turkey and turkey.
Yeah. Same.
All right.
I invite everybody to Google. Yes, it has something to do with there was a bird that is from Turkey, and then it came over
here. But it's such an American bird. I mean,
else? They called it turkey. They did. They called that bird turkey. They didn't have to. Okay. Yeah, so I'm telling you, yes, turkey it has something to do with why we call those birds turkeys. So I invite people to Google
Once again, this is not just an entertainment show. You'll learn something on the game.
I got something else for you. I got to get the stuff out. It's going to be gone.
All right, get it out. Okay.
Do you know vaccine? What the word vaca comes from?
Vac, the vac from vaccine.
Right. The vaca.
Would it be vaca? Vaca. Would it be the same as in vacuum?
No.
Is the etymology? No.
No. Okay. No, no, no. You, it means vac, in Latin. Yes.
To suck?
No.
I don't know.
Okay. Vaca is the Latin word for cow.
Cow.
So, now, the word vaccination came from back, I think, in the 1600s, when a doctor, who remembers the guy who came up with
yeah,
whatever,
yeah.
Some
Vinnie Boombots.
Yeah. Figured out that if you took the cowpox from a cow, and put it into
your body, it would create
your body,
the antigens.
It would protect you from smallpox, which was the more deadlier disease.
So the vaca is
vaca means that it's the cow sanation.
Oh, I find that fascinating. Equally as fascinating is what made you see that word and then go, I need to know its history, the etymology.
It was in an article I read. Article, that's how they explained. That's why where it came from.
Well, that's
why
that fascinating.
It's fundamental.
I find that fascinating. I do.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
I'm going to share that, and I'm going to share it as if I'm so intelligent
mm-hmm.
that I know things like that.
Well, I think
including
you should say, hey, I learned that on the Gary and Kenny show. And if you want to learn interesting stuff like that, you should probably tune in.
Yeah. Don't you got anything else, or can I go?
Please say goodbye to the people and tell them where they can see us.
Goodbye, people. Thank you for watching The Gary and Kenny Show. You can always find us on the most popular podcast platforms. We also have our own YouTube channel, The Gary and Kenny Show. We'd love it if you gave us a thumbs up. And we are on streaming television on DBTV, where you can catch us. Anything else?
No.
It's kind of anywhere you can be, we are.
Could you just do the
we have a Facebook page.
Again? Could you do the good night thing again? That's all, folks.
Oh, yeah. Okay. That's what you want?
That's all, folks.
You'll go out on that? All right. Very good.